Marriage is the very foundation of human society. But it was God's idea to begin with. What is God's plan for your marriage? How can you know? What can you do to learn and grow with your spouse to honor God in your marriage? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this deeply personal and critically important topic in his teaching series, God's Plan for Marriage. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.
Writers. What does writers want? They do? When? How soon? Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So Reuters wants to do an interview about the Huffington Post. Oh, about my debate on marijuana in the Huffington Post. Well, that'll be worthwhile. Sure, I'm totally for that. Okay. Hey, greetings, everybody. Welcome to Bob Enyart Live. So Reuters would like to do an interview about the debate I've been in the Huffington Post, in the Denver edition, which now has 2,900 comments. So it's exploded in popularity. 97% of the HuffPot readers are admitted potheads. Not necessarily. Pro-potheads. Potheads and their friends, supporters. The Huffington Post has asked for round two of the debate. There was no round two planned, but I don't know. I think Robert Corey felt like he wanted to get back or something, that the argument didn't go well for him, so he wanted a round two. So when I was asked, I said, sure, be happy to do that. So, yeah, Reuters, they could come on what day next week? Monday. Well, that'll work fine for me. All right. Invite them to the studio. They don't want to do the interview on the air, do they? No? Well, they could be in the studio audience. Yeah, that'd be fine. Okay. All right. That should be good. Also, on Thursday, my producer told me just before airtime that we will have an update, an important show this Thursday, about a development, a major development in federal court here in Colorado regarding our fight to stop the killing of unborn children. So we'll talk about that. That's very good development. We want to get that whole story right. So we'll wait till Thursday to give you that news. And then we have Ron Paul funneling $350,000 to his family from campaign funds to pay for salaries. And, you know, the House of Representatives, we've got hundreds of politicians in the House, hundreds, and they all end up with campaign funds. And Ron Paul has handed over more campaign money to family members than any other lawmaker in the U.S. House of Representatives. That's saying something. That is saying something. We'll have to get to that story. Then we have this. Is drugged driving the new drunk driving? Fatal accidents up 18% in Colorado. Even a pro-pot spokesperson says the explosion of medical marijuana patients has led to a lot of drivers sticking the marijuana card in the police officer's face, saying, "You can't do anything to me, I'm legal." And the cops say, "Oh yeah, you want to watch me?" Like, hey man, you can't do anything. That story actually is relevant to round two of the debate in the Huffington Post, the HuffPo, HuffPot, the Puffington Post. Is that what it's called? And then also we have this tragic story, a man shot in the head in Denver. And I apologize for reading this headline. This is a headline from the Denver Post, and I apologize for reading the headline. It has a perverse word in the headline. It's a disgusting word. Well, in this context. But I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say it. All right? Man shot in the head in Denver was lover of a man murdered in Broomfield. Lover. It's just so gross. Man shot in the head in Denver was lover of man murdered in Broomfield. You know, nothing says love like a shot in the head. So this is the Denver Medical Examiner who has identified the man shot to death on Colfax Avenue early Sunday morning. Now, we Christians, we get a bad rap because Sunday is the Lord's Day, and crime has a pattern to it. You know, all the alcohol and drug-related crime, all the sexual immorality-related crime, all the adultery-related crime, all the homosexuality-related crime, and so on. Crime also has a pattern, mornings, afternoons, evenings, and typically Friday night, Saturday night, the weekend, when people are getting drunk, being lewd, being irresponsible, behaving like criminals. So it's not surprising that crime goes up in the wee hours of the morning and on the weekends. But on the Lord's Day, crime should be very low. All the potheads are trying to recover from their buzz, and they're sleeping in late. And we have Sunday, which should be a very low crime day, but because a lot of liberals are at bars and at parties till the wee hours of the morning, and they commit their crimes when they leave the bar. So Sunday gets a bad rap. These are really Saturday night leftover crimes. So maybe the FBI and the Uniform Crime Reporting Statistics, maybe they could count these as Saturday murders, not Sunday murders. So in this tragic incident, the man who was shot to death at Colfax Avenue early Sunday, which means late Saturday night, he was killed by a single shot to the head. Neighbors, by the way, this is right at Pearl Street in Colfax. Neighbors say the area is an open-air drug market. That's not surprising, right? You got a crack house. Everybody knows it's a crack house. The neighbors all know. Neighborhood patrol knows. Everybody knows it's a crack house. In fact, in Denver, for a time, there was an anti-drug activist who had set up a hot dog stand in front of crack houses and give away hot dogs for free as a way to call attention and chase away the crack house operators. So how is it that the hot dog guy knew where the crack houses were, but the cops didn't know? How's that possible? This Billy Newson, 29 years old, who's now dead, the Denver Post said Newson led a troubled life. His partner, Matthias Mondragon, was stabbed to death after a fight at the Night Owl Lounge in Broomfield 2 years ago, while Newson was in jail. Newson's brother spoke to the Denver Post, and he said, "My brother couldn't quit drugs. I could never get my brother out of that." You know, part of it is homosexuality. There is a tremendous drug abuse and alcohol abuse among homosexuals in the homosexual community. And part of it is to deal with the guilt of the perversion of it. The brother said that his now deceased brother, Billy, was on probation when he was killed, and that he had violated the terms of his parole, but he had not been rearrested nor put back in jail. And he said, "I wish they would have put him in the penitentiary rather than be out here on the streets." And he was standing at the spot where his brother was shot and killed. So a great tragedy. And there's something about God's law. We talk about breaking God's law, and that's fine to speak in those terms. But from another perspective, you can't break God's law. God's law stands, and you are broken on it. Governments that profane God, and let's say they don't have the death penalty like our government, or they have it so rarely it's virtually irrelevant. God says, "Do not profane me by keeping people alive who should not live." That's in the Bible. People say, "Well, is it the Old or the New Testament?" Well, Jesus affirmed the death penalty. And Paul affirmed the death penalty. Luke affirmed the death penalty. Mark affirmed the death penalty. The book of Acts, the book of Hebrews, the book of Revelation, these all affirm the death penalty. Timothy affirms the death penalty. We have a two-hour DVD titled "God and the Death Penalty, New Testament Support for Capital Punishment." It's a powerful, powerful video. And we also have an outline of it. If you want to get that DVD, of course, it would help support us and keep us on the air here at Bob and Yurt Live. Just go to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, and click on our video department. You'll see God and the Death Penalty. But if you'd like something quick and free, just go to kgov.com, click on Writings, and God and the Death Penalty, and you'll see what for years has been the number one resource when people search for what does God say about the death penalty, that type of search. We've been number one for years, even beating Antonin Scalia, who wrote an article on God and the Death Penalty years ago, and we've consistently beat him in the rankings for a decade. All right, so God's word makes it clear what God has revealed to us about criminal justice. And if we profane God, if we ignore him, then people will be destroyed. People's lives will be destroyed. Even worse, they will destroy themselves. And it's because, partly because, Christians are ashamed of God's word. And so we back down. When is the last time you heard a leader, a conservative leader, Christian leader, Republican leader? I'll just pick a topic. When is the last time you heard them say that homosexuals should not adopt children? When's the last time you heard that? I don't think one has had the guts to say that in 10 years, in a decade. And I think they actually forget that they ever did say it. So we need to share with people the truth about right and wrong, because these two guys now are dead. They're both dead, one in Broomfield, one in Denver, and it's because as a nation, a culture, we've turned our back on God. So we have an epidemic of bloodshed and immorality and theft, assault. Part of the solution is reminding people that there is a creator God, and we're made in his image and likeness. And to that effect, Colorado is attempting for round three to get personhood back on the ballot. And we have the personhood director, the initiative director, Susan Sutherland, on the line. Susan, welcome back to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, thank you. It's good to be here, Bob.
Susan, tell us what's going on with the petition drive. How many signatures do we need, and what can we do to get them?
Well, let's see. We need, the total that we are aiming for is 120,000.
Wow.
Because we know that through the process, a lot of signatures will be thrown out for various reasons.
Yeah, so, the Secretary of State, right, typically will toss tens of thousands of signatures and say they're not valid.
Yep, they will.
And in fact, they tossed out tens of thousands of signatures, many of which they said the notaries did it wrong, blaming the notaries 2 years ago when the state changed the rules for the notaries and never notified the notaries.
That's right.
And
that's
we're the ones, only the personhood petition got penalized. And I recall you guys went to the chief notary in the state of Colorado and said, did you know about this law change? And the chief notary said, I had no idea. This is the first I've heard of it.
Right. Yeah. So they were not even aware of it. And so be it. That was not a problem for us. We ended up taking care of business by sending our team of signature gatherers back out into the field, so to speak. Out into the streets, the fields, wherever, the churches, and, you know, we gathered.
The highways and byways.
That's right. We got the job done and gathered, you know, tens of thousands of more signatures. But first of all, we're on top of that this year. Of course, people who go to their notaries now know, and so the notary situation won't be a problem. But
Let me just tell the audience, in case somebody ends up calling in and says, I want to get a petition.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they get 10 signatures or 25 from friends and, you know, people at work or whoever.
Right.
Then when you take it to the bank or wherever to get it notarized, they just have to look at your driver's license to mark down your ID. They can't put that they know you personally.
That's correct.
For
decades,
they put personal knowledge, personal recognition. They no longer can do that.
Right.
Because of you, Susan. It's your fault.
Well, it's easy enough, though, to have something notarized. Yeah, of course, they're going to look at your license. They're going to jot down some info. You're going to sign your name. They're going to stamp it. It's a quick process. So sometimes people think, oh, my goodness, I have to have this notarized.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's like putting a stamp on an envelope.
Exactly.
Right.
And, of course, we have a notary at both Colorado Right to Life at their office and at the personhood office. And your bank can notarize something. So that's easy enough. If people want to get a petition, of course, they can contact me or they can call the personhood office.
All right.
We can mail it. We can deliver it. They can pick it up. I mean, the easiest way is probably we'll just put it in the mail and they'll have it within 24 hours generally.
Yeah, but if somebody is in the Denver metro area, there's an office downtown, just three doors north of the Capitol, and there's an office in Arvada.
Yeah.
So Colorado Right to Life downtown, person at Colorado in Arvada. Let's give out, say, a website and a phone number so people can help. And maybe Cheryl and I, my wife Cheryl and I, have our own team. And our team has committed to getting 2,000 signatures.
Wow.
That's quite a goal.
That is.
And it's going to be hard. And maybe there's one or two people in the audience right now who will join our team.
Oh, we would love that.
Yeah.
As many people as possible. The way we're going to get this job done is putting petitions into hands of others. It's not the handful of people that you hear about it. It's a widespread statewide effort, and we have people in virtually every county doing this.
Mm.
And we need to continue that.
And
so,
Susan,
yes.
I know I just asked you for a website, but I just heard the most exciting news from Personhood Oklahoma.
Mm.
I'm sure you know about this, but it turns out that they've started their petition drive to get on the ballot in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And J.C. Watts, who's been a hero of conservatives and pro-life Christians for many years, J.C. Watts agreed to help the Personhood effort. He recorded a message.
Yep.
They sent that message out, and 8,000 families in Oklahoma responded and said, please send us a petition.
No, it was 13,000.
13,000. Now, that's an update from when I heard it. It had been 13,000 families in Oklahoma.
That's right.
And they requested a petition. This is thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
This means that Oklahoma is in the running to be one of the states to bring personhood to the fore of the battle to protect unborn children.
They are. They are. That's pretty exciting. And that
was
a good response, and it's fabulous. So we might even do something like that here in Colorado.
And Susan, by the way, going back many years, Bob and Yurt Live, we were on the air in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on Channel 7, right between a CBS and an NBC station for years, five nights a week for an hour. And we've kept in touch through the internet, through kgov.com, and through our Bible studies and sermons that we mail out to families all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've asked our friends in Oklahoma, please help the personhood folks, and they're excited to be a part of the battle.
Oh, that's so great. That's wonderful. Yep.
So what do we do here in Colorado? How do people contact you?
Let me start with the personhood phone number is 303-456-2800. And you can call there. They'll get you a petition if you need it mailed to you, if you have any questions. Or people can call me as the initiative coordinator. I'm kind of handling a lot of this. And, and if people have questions or concerns or just want a petition, I have petitions. I'm in Thornton, so people can come pick them up for me. I'll deliver them.
Super.
We'll get petitions into people's hands.
Yes. All right. So how do they call you?
My number is 303-918-1606.
Okay, 303-918-1606. And then how about websites? Because the Colorado Personhood Coalition, and I love that, a CPC, you think of CPCs, that's where children are protected all over the country. There's over 5,000 crisis pregnancy centers. And there are great CPCs here in Colorado. And so we have, since our state starts with a C, we have the Colorado Personhood Coalition running this year's effort to get on the ballot. So that's CPC also. Two of the members of the coalition are Colorado Right to Life and Personhood Colorado. So what is the website for Personhood Colorado?
New website is up, and it's just personhoodco.com.
All right.
personhoodco.com. It's up. It's got info. It's got the language. It tells you how to get a petition. There's a lot of information on there, but we'll be adding one very important thing we'll be doing with this website is we have a calendar, and we're going to be adding events regularly where people can attend these events to gather signatures. Mm. And we want people to get in touch with us if they have an event in mind that they think might be a great signature gathering opportunity.
So there could be a concert, say a Christian
sure.
concert.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Ann Coulter is singing down at the Performing Arts Center.
Well, okay.
Okay, let's say she's not. Let's say there's a Christian concert or a church picnic or a
right.
whatever, a conservative Anything. Event, a Tea Party event.
Exactly, exactly.
Any event where people are gathered, a sporting event, it would be great to let you know so you guys could put that event on the calendar
right.
so people can show up.
Right, right. And these are events, I mean, we'll take events from, of course, all around the state because this is a statewide effort. So if there's a parade in Grand Junction or whatever the case may be, we'd love to
yep.
post it so that people can go to the website and see what's going on and go out there and get some signatures. This is important. People have got to take the initiative to get up, take their petition, and go out to different events, churches. Visit your local church, not just your – well, first of all, take your petition to your home church. My
right.
goodness, we talk to people and they'll say, oh, I have a petition. Well, have you taken it to church yet? Oh, no, I haven't done that.
Right.
Take your petition to church and get signatures.
And yeah.
stuff.
And when you do, you might bring one or two spares because
right.
some people – I was at the St. Paddy's Day Parade. That's not known as a conservative Christian event. I mean, it's 11:30.
No, it's not.
It's 11:30 in the morning, and there are people wasted and literally laying on the sidewalk.
I know.
Drunk.
It's tragic.
But yeah. people will see on the back of the petition – I just print out in real big, bold letters, pro-life petition.
Mm-hmm.
So people see it. I don't
right.
even have to say pro-life petition.
Right.
I'm just holding it. They see it. Men, women, especially women, will come over and say, I want to sign that. And they'll sign it, and they'll say, this is so important to me. And then I'll say, would you like to take a blank petition and get some signatures?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. What do
right.
I do? Where do I send them? Just go to Colorado Right to Life's website. It's just so easy. But if people don't help, Susan, this is crucial that people listening actually participate.
Yes, it is crucial. We need as many people as possible to take a petition, several petitions, like you said, hand them out. And what people need to realize is this petition is smaller than our previous one, and it only has 56 spots for signatures.
Right.
So you have to keep in mind this is about half the size, so we really need to, if you finish your petition, if you fill up that petition, get another one.
Sure.
Hand them
yeah.
out to friends. And if you do not fill your petition, and of course we've got until right after the 4th of July, we're aiming for July 6th for
right.
our final, for our
Turn
deadline.
In. Right.
But, you know, I think what a problem was in previous efforts is people would not fill their petition. Maybe they'd have 5, 10, however many signatures, and they almost felt embarrassed, or they felt like, oh, gee, I didn't fill my petition. I'm not going to send this
send
in.
Send them in.
Send them in. If you have two signatures, we
right.
want them.
In fact, in reality, every single signature is a testimony to the Lord. It's an effort. It's each person's attempt to protect innocent children.
That's right. That's
so
right.
every signature
Every is signature
important.
Is important, and you're right. It would be a disservice to not send those in because, like you said, the people who signed were signing for a purpose.
Right.
They want to give their testimony.
And then some people will say, oh, I already signed. They're thinking of 2 years ago.
Right.
So it's important to say this is a new petition. That
Thank
was for
you.
2010.
Yes.
This is new. Please sign
Thank
the
you
2012
for
petition.
That, Bob. This is very important because that's the first thing that I'll say. People say, oh, I've signed that. And I say, we just started this last week. You might be thinking of 2010.
Right.
And I'll tell them, if you haven't signed a petition in the past, it's 7, 8, 10 days, then you have not signed this petition.
Right, right, that's right.
And that's important because I've heard that response so many times already.
Right, right. Okay, Susan Sutherland, thank you. I know it's a labor of love on your part for the Lord and for your neighbor, for the innocent. This is the battle of our day. In other days, it was the killing of Jews. It was the treating of black people as animals, as property. And today, it's the killing of unborn children.
Yes, we have to stay at it. We have to continue the battle. And one day, this battle will end. And until that day, we will continue to fight. And I am humbled to be able to do this. And it just takes a gigantic amount of people that make this happen. It's not one or two people. It's all the people out there who are willing to sign and willing to carry petitions.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey, Susan, last thing real quick.
Sure.
My mother, if you remember my mother, Connie.
Yes, I do.
She got in a car crash today.
Oh, no.
Now, she's okay. Her car needs some repair. The guy who hit my mother, she gets out of the car. He's walking toward her. She said, "Are you pro-life? Will you sign my petition?"
I love that.
He signed the petition, and so did the people who work at the two auto repair shops that she went to.
I'm going to talk to your mother, and she's going to be my sidekick.
All right. Thank you, Susan Sutherland.
Thanks so much.
That's great. So Cheryl and I really need your help, and boy, we'd be thrilled. We could email each other, call each other, and talk about events coming up, where we could meet at a parking lot, in a shopping center, at a library, a post office, a concert, to get together and get signatures, or we go off, of course, on our own and get signatures, and then we could keep our tally and work toward 2,000 signatures. So we need your help. It's so thrilling for Cheryl and I to do this, and we'd love for you to be on our team. If you're in the Denver metro area, maybe that makes it easier, but it is a statewide Colorado effort, so it doesn't really matter. If you're listening to this and you're down in Pueblo or Colorado Springs, well, Pueblo, Dee Waite would want you on her team. Colorado Springs, I don't know. There's all kinds of team leaders down there. But we'd love you on our team. And you know what? I'm going to get to this Ron Paul story later in the week. And can't wait for Friday. What a great show. God bless you.
Children are a blessing from God. But when parents reject and ignore his wisdom and teaching about parenting, children can grow up to be a curse to their parents and to the world around them. What does the Bible say about parents and children, education, and child discipline? Pastor Bob Enyart covers this powerful and critical topic in his teaching series, Raising Godly Children. Order by calling 800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com.